You know, I would be the only one that does this thing, or don't stop, like. And here we go. Okay, I wanted to share, there is this, a system of the brain, a system of the brain, right? There's like all sorts of things that you can do, there's the acts, right? Out of which you can bust your Thanksgiving supplication, so that you've got purpose and prayer, right? And there's another one, there's like a hand navigator, right? It's like you're coming out and there's another navigator book, but I ran across this book, and it's about how to pray scripture. And I found in my own life, and as I was reading it, I was like, "Oh, this is great." That he kept like it's sad. He did it, but at times he was praying because it's the same thing over and over and over again. And I just want to get in this rut where I'm like, I don't want to not look forward to praying. I want to even pray. So this book was like, again, it's like the best book, one of the best on prayer. I actually have one to give away, but not until later on. So what it does is it teaches a way to pray scripture so that although we're praying the same thing, we're praying for our husbands, we're praying for our leaders, for our country, we're praying for our children, we're praying for our church leaders, we're still praying for the same things that are near and dear to us, but the wording is going to change because we're going to scripture to guide us instead of our list to guide us, if that makes sense. So, but right off the bat, he says, and I appreciate that, correctly handling the word of God doesn't us to make the text say what we want it to say, right? We can't change the way the Bible is written to make it work for us. And Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, that passage, would never, ever be preached as an evangelistic passage, ever. Well, if it does, don't go there, because it's not an evangelistic passage. Right, it's about a believer's soul being restored in the joy of God's salvation. But when you pray, you can pray out of context. And so he goes on to explain that we're using the language of the Word of God to direct our thoughts. So we can pray the things around the words because we're not actually preaching what it says. We're praying and we're using them to direct us. So we're going to use the Word of God to speak what comes to our mind, but we're using the parameters of what the Bible says. I know it sounds really weird and it might even sound blasphemous, but it's not, I promise. So at times you are praying exactly what the Bible says, and at times you're praying thoughts that are around that come to mind as you're praying it. So take, for instance, Psalm 23. So if you have your Bible, phone, or app, or whatever, we're going to talk through this, because at the end we're going to do this, and we're going to pray. And it has been life-changing for me, because if someone told me, I want you to pray for 30 minutes in your prayer time, I would have been like, oh, okay, well, I'll get through my 12 minutes, and then I'll go on to something different, because who prays for 30 minutes? But this has changed the way I pray. And we know this, right, because the Word of God, praying the Word of God changes a lot of things. Hebrews 4:12 first says that, for the Word of God is living and active, right? So we know that the Bible is alive and it's purposeful, it's the Word of God. And as we pray God's Word back to Him, we're praying His words. We're not just praying ordinary words, we're praying words that have spirit and life. And John 6:63 says, it is the spirit who gives life, the flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. And so praying the Word of God is praying.
So sorry. It's my fault. But praying the Word of God makes my prayers way more about God and less about me, which is always good. It makes me read the Bible differently because I'm going to pray what it says. It's a greater assurance that I'm praying God's will because I'm praying the Word of God. Okay, I'm really struggling here. There we go. It changes the way I pray because I don't pray the same words over again. I'm not just praying, keep my children safe. You know, if they don't love Jesus, I pray that you would change their hearts. It's not just the same monotonous words over, and that makes praying boring. and it shouldn't be boring. We're praying to God, so it should never be boring. And it makes my prayers completely fresh and different every day because I'm using a different passage, which was radically different than my same prayers and my list of things that I pray for. So John Piper says this about this way of praying. And he says this: praying the word means reading or reciting scripture in a spirit of prayer and letting the meaning of the verses become our prayers and inspire our thoughts. So it's taking the word of God, and we're going to go through Psalm 23 before we break off and pray, but it's taking Psalms 23 as your guide and then praying around the guide. All right, so if you look at Psalms 23, that first phrase, the Lord is my shepherd. So when we're praying the Bible, right, the Lord is my shepherd, now you're praying every thought that comes to mind when you think of that the Lord is your shepherd, right? Thank you that you guide me. Thank you that you protect me. We know all the things that a shepherd does because we all have sheep. I don't know why we would know what a shepherd does, except for the fact that we've learned what a shepherd does. And there's guidance and there's leading and there's direction. And so you're praying around those things. And so when I'm praying for, thank you that you are my shepherd, but I also thank you that you shepherd my children, that you are leading my children, and you shepherd my husband, and you are leading my husband. So thank you for leading him. Thank you for leading our church leaders. Thank you. So everything that comes to mind around the idea of the Lord is my shepherd. And then you move on to the next sentence. I shall not want, right? Now you're thanking God for my great provision. I thank you for meals. I thank you for my home. I thank you for Albuquerque, New Mexico. I thank you for putting me in a place of contentment. Help me not to love things. Help me to recognize the difference between needs and wants, right? I'm just, everything that's coming to mind around the idea of I shall not want. Pray for those who are not satisfied with what you've given them. Pray contentment. God, would you give my children contentment? Help them not to want the things of the world. Help them to want you, right? There's so much around this concept. Pray that their satisfaction would come from Jesus and no one or nothing else. Pray the same for myself. Pray the same thing for my husband. Pray the same thing for our church leaders. Pray the same thing for our country leaders. And then you move on when you've prayed exhaustively on everything you can think of, which is a lot around these things. You move on to the next line. He makes me lie down in green pastures. God, thank you for rest. Thank you that you know when I need rest and that you lead me there. Sometimes when I don't even want to, and you force me into a time of rest. And maybe green pastures, right? That makes you think of like a rich word of God. Thank you for leading me to the word of God. Thank you for revealing your word to me. And then when you've prayed exhaustively over that, right, you move on to the next phrase. He leads me beside still waters. God, thank you for leading me. Thank you for calling me. I want to do what you want. Give me a desire to follow your leading. And you pray the same for your children. God, would you lead them? Would they hear you? Would they follow you? Right, quiet the anxious waters, right? There's this whole thing about still waters, right? You think of like rushing, the opposite of that would be rushing waters. So quiet the anxious waters of my soul, right? Remove the anxiety that I have, remove the uneasy that I have, guide me away from that, bring me to a place of peace and rest, because you can be at peace and rest in the middle of turmoil. Yeah, help me trust you in your sovereign work around me. Many of us, I've heard, are sometimes in the middle of a but God moment, right? And we're not yet at the but God, and so we're still in the my heart, and you know, all that's failing, all this stuff is going on, and we've not yet gotten to the but God is the strength of my heart. We're still not, haven't crossed over that. And so lead me there. There's peace on that side. Get me over there. And then the next sentence, right? He restores my soul. This one here, though, because this is where I'm talking about we can pray, quote unquote, out of context, because he restores my soul, right? In the passage itself, if you were to preach expositionally over this, you would never be like, oh, this is evangelistic. Let's pray for the souls of all the people. Or it's about the souls of all people, which it's not. But we can pray that, right? So we can come and we can say, right, he restores my soul. God, I might be in a place where I'm spiritually dry. Restore my soul. Give me that fire for your word that maybe is lacking. Give me that fire to be in community with you or be with community with believers. Restore my faith. Bring me the joy of your salvation. And then this is oftentimes when I start shifting to restore the souls of the people that do not know you, that maybe have walked with you but are no longer walking with you. Maybe someone's got a prodigal son or a prodigal child, daughter. Would you restore their soul? Would you lead them? Would you guide them? Give me opportunity to share the gospel with the people at work, with the people, you know, that I come in contact with out at the park or school or wherever it is. Restore the unbelievers. Give them sight. If they are walking in darkness, would you bring them to the light? Like, just all the thoughts around restoring the soul of somebody. So there's this allowance, quote unquote, to pray out of context because we're using it as our guide, but we're praying the word of God on all the things around us. And it has been life-changing because I switch up the psalm that I'm praying when I pray over these things. So the wording is different, obviously, over all these things. So just as an example, before we actually go, because I want 20 minutes. That's why we're going to set a timer for 20 minutes, and it's going to go by so fast. But if you turn to Psalm, say, 141. If I can find it. I know this Bible has it. It's just hidden. Okay, so that first verse. With my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. Just this. God, would you never let me be settled in my sin? Would you never let me become so comfortable in my sin that I don't pour out to you? And then there's a time of confession. Forgive me for the things that I've done. Or anything that you can think of within crying out to the Lord. And then I always seem to have this, like, praying for my children. Or there's always my list, right? That's me, my husband, my children, and the church leaders, and blah, blah. But then as I'm praying these things, all these things come to mind. God, would you allow my children to cry out to you? And if one is specifically going through something and is pretty hard-headed about whatever it is, God, would you soften his heart so that he's forced to cry out to you? Would you make him so aware of his sin and so uncomfortable in his sin that he is forced to cry out to you? And I did tell my kids one time that, just so you know, I am always praying that your sin makes you uncomfortable and that you are miserable in it so that you're forced to do something about it. And they don't love that because I don't think anybody really wants to know that mom is praying that over them, but I am. Force them to cry out to you. Put them in a position where they are so uncomfortable that that is the only option they have for peace of mind. And I'm just going to pray. And then this next one, right? When my spirit faints within me, you know why. God, thank you for knowing all that's going on inside me. You know why. You know why I'm struggling. You know why. You know why my children are the way they are. You know where they're going to be, when they're going to be there. Would you work in them? In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. God, you know where the enemy lies. Would you protect my children from walking into a trap that the enemy has set for them? Would you protect my husband from walking into a trap? And he has been trapped many, many times. And so I pray, well, I mean, we all have. I pray that over him a lot. Look to the right and see there is none who takes notice of me. No refuge can remain to me. No one cares for my soul. God, if I'm feeling alone, if I am feeling isolated, no one knows me here in this place. Now, you might come to a really weird verse, not in this one, but in some of them where it's the precatory hymns, right, where they're like, bash the babies, right? Just jump over those. If you don't really know how to pray around that, there are many I'm like, I got nothing on this one. We're just going to move on to the next one. And that's fine. That's fine. But there's a lot of time, even in the imprecatory hymns, that there is this righteous indignation, this anger behind what's going on. And those are times where we can cry out to God of, this isn't fair. This isn't fair. These people deserve death. These people deserve justice because they're doing unjust things to good people. So there's a time to pray for that his vengeance would, you know, come about on people. It's God's word. We're praying about. I cry to you, O Lord. I say you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Oh, man. And this is just like, oh, you are my portion. You are everything I need. I live in the land of the living. I live. My kingdom is not here, right? This is not my home. One day I'm going to be in my home. So we can thank for that. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low, right? There's just this plea, deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. All the things that we are going through, right? There's this opportunity to bring all our requests, no matter how horrendous they seem. We have this opportunity to bring them, deliver me from my persecutors. They are too strong for me. And our persecutors don't have to be people. Our persecutors can be, I feel there's so much shame and there is so much judgment in being the stupid wife that didn't deal with the issue in my marriage. But I chose to be indifferent for years instead. There is shame in that. How did I not see what was going on around me? And so it's too heavy to bear. Those are all the things that I have to just... These are my persecutors. So we're praying that they're too strong for me. I can't live in that space. I can't be the person who lives in shame and judgment like that. Bring me out of a prison that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. The righteous will surround me. Man, I thank you, Lord, for the Christian and godly women that you have put around me. I thank you for people who have prayed for me before I was born. I thank you for the women who have poured into me when I had kids, little kids, and Jeremy's deployed. And I mean, it was a mess at our house. And I had these women who were like, it's okay, hot dogs are fine. You can feed them hot dogs. But that was during the phase when everybody had to have, you know, like homemade hot dogs. And that was not happening at my house. For you deal bountifully with me. And there is just this, these are the blessings that I see. You have blessed me richly. So do you see how we can, there are so many words surrounding these Psalms and we're using them as just a guide to guide our next thought trail. So we're going to do this. We can look at one more too, because I just want to make sure before we pair off that you're all like, now what are we supposed to do? How do we do this? And I know you're all like brilliant ladies, so I know this is not a problem. But the other one I want to look up is Psalm 145. Because I want to like show you different ways that if you take a song of praise, right? So 145, like, I will extol you, my God and King. I bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, right? Every day I will bless you. Give me a desire every day to bless you. Because I will stand here and tell you that every day, that doesn't happen for me. Right? For many days, I'm just like, oh my gosh, I haven't even thanked God for a single thing today. And here we are halfway through the day. Every day I bless you. Give me that yearning every day to bless you. And would those who do not walk in your ways bless you? God, would they see you in the midst of whatever? Would creation bring someone to your knees? Or their knees in front of you. Albuquerque is a beautiful city. It is a beautiful city. And we're coming down this, like, we live on the top of a, it's there's a mountain on one side, and then there's like volcano, old dormant volcanoes on the other. And so Albuquerque kind of lays in this valley. And so we're on the volcano side. And coming down that hill into the city of Albuquerque and looking up and just seeing those mountains, it's incredible. It's incredible. And Maryland and Virginia, I'm driving through here. You have trees and they're different colors. May someone in a car going to work be brought to their knees because of creation. And there is no one that can do that except for God. I just lost my place. Would you just work in those people? I mean, we can be praying all the things. 145. And then when they speak of, I was specifically 10 and 11, right? All your work shall give thanks to you, O Lord. All your saints shall bless you. Maybe we just give me opportunity to bless you. Do this, right? So we speak the glory of your kingdom and tell of your powers to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds. Petitioning for our children. I've got four of them, so I feel like the majority of my time is praying for children. Would they be brought to your knees? Would you make known your deeds to my children so that they are part of the generation that's passing this on? Would you give them a heart for you? Would you give them a love for your church? Would you give them a love for your people? Would you give them a desire to serve in the church? Anything that comes to mind, right, around this verse and these ideas, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures through all generations. And then I'm incredibly grateful that I have a generational blessing of Christianity in our family. May my children pass on that blessing. May they be part of that generation. So there's just the sky's the limit when we're praying, right? All the thoughts around the verses. And so we're going to break up and do just this and pray. And I don't know if we should, Gail's not here, so we'll make a decision without her. I don't know if we should break up in the, Michelle, will you just make it educate? Just you tell me. Should we break up in groups that we already are in or even smaller? Or what's the easiest, best? 2 or 3 people? 4 or 5 people?
There are only like 5 in our group, yeah.
Okay, then let's do that. Let's break up in the groups that we were already in. And we can just do it in here. Pick a Psalms. Psalms 23 is incredible to pray through. Incredible. Psalms 145 is also great. 141 is also great. We read that one. Psalms 34 and 32. I mean, they're all good. So maybe pick one. But Psalms 23, if you want one to do through, that one is actually, that it's not too terribly long either. And we'll just start praying. And so the best way to do it, if one person starts, kind of go around, right? So if you're sitting in a circle, and as you go around, you're praying just one portion of the verse. So maybe if the first person just take on a position of leadership and just, this is the phrase we're praying through, until it gets around you. And if you still have stuff after that that's come to mind, pray another circle on that same line. And then the person who has decided that they're the leader of the group, if you would just say the next part of the verse and then take another round around. And I want to also set the timer for 20 minutes because that's all we got left. And I just hope that this blesses you richly because it's life-changing. It's for me. So I hope you're not like, this is the craziest system. And it is a little crazy, but it's so freeing because you've just been given this whole new template of what to pray. And you probably are already praying this way. So I apologize if you're like, oh, we've been doing this for years. So there's that. But that's what we're going to do. So we're going to break up. How many groups are there? 4, 5? 3 and some teenagers. Okay. I'll come join you guys. Okay. You're like, is that a happy face? Okay.